This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
BT, let's spin it forward here. And in case you missed any of that, check it out on the free Odyssey app. A moment like that, we've been talking about it all season long with Alonzo. Whether Met fans wanted him back, at what price, there are many layers to the conversation. But it did get to a point, as we just alluded to a little bit before, where it felt like everybody was done with Pete. All right, he can't get it done in the big spot. The team has won without Pete being an integral part of it. And last night, that pop-up, maybe most fans put the nail in the coffin thinking that this is going to be it for Pete Alonzo. And then he goes out there and has a moment like that. And for me, as somebody who was beyond ready to move on from Pete, and price is a factor here, but forget that for a second. For me, that singular moment trumps everything that happened negatively throughout the course of the entire year. Same way with Luis Castillo. I don't care how much good he did. When he dropped that pop-up against the Yankees, his Mets career was over. I said it at the time, actually, to Francesa driving home in his car at that time, coming back. He'll never play. Met fans will never let him live that down ever. He was a good player, Castillo. That pop up, that's it.
Yeah.
With Alonzo, that moment, so great for me personally, and I would assume a lot of Met fans as well, that will make Met fans want Pete to be a Met for life.
Does it make them right in wanting that?
Well, it depends the price, and that's why I was saying it's a different thing. I'm not going to overpay like somebody called up earlier talking about $200 million. Man, those are different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete Alonzo proved last night in the toughest of all moments that he can deliver the big moment. So once you do that in this town with that team, after all that he went through, to me, nothing is impossible for Pete. And now I definitively want to see him be a lifelong Met.
Okay, I think a lot of this is still going to come down to how realistic and how flexible Scott Boras is going to be. I think now sentiment does creep a little more deeply into this conversation because of what happened last night. I think that anything that I've said about Pete doesn't change because everything that I said about Pete was based in the reality of where he was as a player and who I perceive him to be. And that is, you know, a bit of a decaying asset as a first baseman who's going to be 30 next year, age 30 season, a righty.
Turned down 5-year, 180 or 6-year, 180 million, whatever.
Yep. Turned down a pretty decent contract. And also just reacting to the trends in baseball, where the contracts are very different now. I think what this does, if Pete pops out last night or hammers into a double, whatever, if he doesn't come through, not only do I think that Pete walks, like, not only do I think that Met fans would be okay with Pete walking, I think Pete probably would have wanted to go.
It was over.
Yeah, it just felt over. Yeah. It looked over. It's just very ominous, right? Does this rekindle in the hearts of Met fans their connection? Yes, I think that it does. Does it maybe change how Pete perceives the Mets? I don't know, because Boris is still running the show here, and that's why I started the conversation. It depends on how flexible and how realistic he is. If he's realistic and flexible, then I think you come to common ground, 3-4-5-year deal, you make it happen. If not, then I still think there's a chance he's an ex-Met.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be irrational and say, well, give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
I don't know what the market is going to be, but put it this way. You nailed it. If he doesn't do exactly what he did last night, I don't think Met fans would have even cared when Pete Alonso would have gone elsewhere. But with that moment, so you go from, it's two total opposite
ends. It is crazy.
You go from saying, all right, we're done with this guy. He just can't take it anymore. Couldn't get it done in a big spot. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, it's just not working here anymore. To that's the biggest moment that this franchise has had maybe ever outside of the two World Series wins. From a guy who has been a prolific home run hitter since he's been in the league, you want him to be a lifelong man. To me personally, I know I'm going from I'm done with Pete to now I want to see him locked up. But again, you got to be reasonable about certain things, and hopefully they can come to some kind of agreement where maybe he gets a little bit more than the deal that he turned down.
Yep, yep.
And by the way, there was the majority of the year we were talking about he's not even going to get what he got offered that he turned down. But now maybe that's back in play or a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they could come to a common ground. But if he doesn't get that hit, everybody's moving on. He does. And now I think everybody wants to stay together.
There's also a couple of the chapters to be written here. I mean, what does he do against Philly? Does he go 2-for-20 with, you know, 7 strikeouts and leave 6 guys on base in scoring position? Or does he crank 3 bombs or 4 bombs and drive home 9 runs? That would change the perception a bit. I think the bottom line is I think that Met, even if it was a bloop base hit, forget about a laser the other way that went over the fence, if it was a bloop single or a bloop double that just touched chalk down the right field line, really, Sal, here's the bottom line. Met fans were looking Met fans wanted to love him again.
Right.
They wanted to.
Bingo. That's what we wanted to see. That's what we've been waiting for.
Yep.
All year long, we've been waiting for that. We knew we had it in him. We've been waiting for that. And then he finally delivered. I don't think a double in the gap would have done the same thing. I think it would have made fans excited. To me, when you prove that you can have a moment like that, a beyond Piazza-like moment, which I never even thought was possible, that's all that I need to see. The resume speaks for itself, but now with the resume on, where I started to turn on Pete was when they were not clutch in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Getting swept by Atlanta, the postseason, then 2023 was bad. He had a down year offensively, then the stuff that was going on in the clubhouse, all that. And then this year again, so it was like 2.5 years of stuff that was going on that wasn't trending in the right direction. Knowing and hoping that he had it in him all along, but waiting to see it. That last night showed me that he has it in him.
Yeah.
And now, to me, much like we talk about the Mets team this year and there shouldn't be a ceiling, the sky's the limit, I don't think that there's a limit to what Pete can do. Now, you want to talk about body breaking down long term. What does it mean? I don't doubt now that Pete Alonso can come up big in the biggest of moments because I just saw him do it.
Yeah, and unlike Lindor and the various conversations with Francisco Lindor over the years, like, even during Lindor's worst moments, he still felt connected to the team. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whether it was a leader or the de facto leader or just a middle of the diamond energy guy who just emitted some style and a little pizzazz. Like, Pete looked, even though he's not old, he was looking like he was a decaying baseball figure just because of the lack of production. Again, long term, it doesn't change that much for me.
Yep.
But it very well might change the sentiment of Cohen. I mean, how do you think Cohen's going to let him walk out the door now?
It certainly changed the emotion of the Mets fans with Pete Alonso.
It's beautiful.
If it were 50-50 or 30-70, now I think it's 90-10, if not higher.
That they want him back.
100%.
What do you think it was after the pop-up last night?
I think it was
the other way?
Yeah, 10-90. 10% wanted to keep him still.
And the fact that one, and now it's an all-time home run, but the fact that one swing flips it from 10% back to 90 tells you they never wanted to stop loving this guy.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is in Red Bank. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Good. You two are my favorite people in sports radio, so I'm happy to finally be on with you guys.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
BT, you said this in the first hour, and you tweeted too. It made me feel good being a Yankee fan. You were rooting for the Mets. Cause that was going to be my question to you. I'm a huge diehard Yankee fan. I never rooted for the Mets in my life until this week. Mm-hmm. Half my family are Mets fans. I kind of feel bad. I've never seen a World Series. I also wanted to see them face the Philly, so that's going to be great cinema. So it's going to really insurance that you said you're rooting for the Mets, and I was too, so I didn't really know. And
yeah, honestly, here's the way I look at it. Now, this, I don't mean to be somber, but it gets me to a good place. Like, again, first of all, forget about the economy. Like, that's the basic stuff. Anything that benefits our area, more games, more parking, obviously it's good for our area, right? But when it comes down to, like, lines of fandom, I just think about, and was only last month, I think about 9/11, right? I think about all of the amazing Met fans who lost their lives. I really do. I go back to a spot like that. I think about the father-son connection, the grandfather, you know, grandchild connection, the trips to Shea, the picnics, the barbecues, you know, all the Bob Murphy voice, all the different voices. And to me, that trumps. Now, don't get me wrong. We see you guys in the World Series. I can't wait to destroy you guys. But up until then, I don't know how. I know a lot of people are rooting against the Mets and the Yankee fans. I'm not one of them. And if anybody has an issue with it, I don't know what to tell you, man. That's not going to change.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to change.
I think fans do, to each their own. Fans do what they want. I wouldn't ever say, well, you're a Yankee fan, you should be rooting for the Mets. I think it's an
No, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying
me. I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying
right,
me.
You, right.
Go be Philly.
I mean. You're allowed to do what you want.
And if
I wanted to root against the Yankees, I could. I'm not going to for different reasons. I mean, obviously, if they get to the World Series, then sure. But it is interesting to open up the mind because you just get caught up as a fan and you kind of follow along. All right, well, I'm a Met fan or I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not going to root for the other teams. And then the emotions take you to a certain spot where it's like, well, I hate that team. And then you think about, well, why? Why do I hate that team if I have family members that would get joy out of this team winning?
Yeah.
If it doesn't impact you or take away from your joy, like you said, if they meet in the Subway Series, sure. I understand both sides of it. I've been on both sides of it. I've hated the Yankees more than anybody dating back to, you know, 99 or 2000, whatever, beyond. So I've been on that side of it, but I also am opened up to the thought process of, why do New Yorkers have to root against each other? And so, not that I'm softening up. And by the way, I like the battle. It makes it fun.
Oh, there's no
Mets
doubt.
Mets versus Yankees.
And we'll be jousting daily. You know that's going to come to the, you know, especially when we get into the Yankees playing this weekend here, starting their series with Kansas City. You know, you think about all the way baseball used to be and before the Brooklyn Dodgers finally cracked through in 1955. But think about, you know, just think about the city. Just juxtapose it multi-decades back in the day. And what it was like, I anytime that we have a vibrant month of October, which is fairly rare because this is the only in terms of both teams being involved, only the 11th time the Mets have been in the playoffs here. To me, it's like a little piece of what used to be and what I used to hear growing up about Willie, Mickey. You
right.
say it's corny, but that's the way it was. And there's not three teams. There's two. And if two are still playing, to me, it's better than one. Simple math.
It's interesting, BT, that you say that because I was just thinking along those lines, the origin of this. Didn't it start because the Giants and Dodgers played the Yankees in the World Series quite a bit?
And basically every year, Dodgers. The Yankees beat the Dodgers basically every single year.
Right. So if the Yankees beat the Dodgers every year in the postseason, you have fans back then of the Dodgers hating the Yankees.
Absolutely,
because
despising
them. Because, with good reason, they were getting beat every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Mets are born, and a lot of Met fans, because the Dodgers and Giants left, so then they would become
Met
fans.
So my dad did.
So that's the origin. But younger Mets fans, there's no real reason to hate the Yankees because outside of being jealous of their success.
From,
but it the origin of it, I believe, and I'm just doing this in real time.
You're 100% right.
Was because they were beating them head to head.
There's no doubt. And, like, it's not like the Dodgers back then were like the Brooklyn Dodgers, were the little engine that could, that, like, just, oh, they somehow found their way to the World Series. That Brooklyn Dodgers team was littered with all-time players. They were amazing. The Yankees were just untouchable.
Right, but the Yankees and Mets were never the real rival.
No, dude. I mean, you had the Mayor's Trophy game, which went away in 1983, and that was it. And really, the only thing, and this would get heated. The only time like I felt like that real anger, whatever, like was the Mattingly Hernandez, yelling at each other in the street back. Who was better? That's it. That's
it's
it.
Crazy when you think about it. Eric is in the Bronx. What's up, Eric?
What a day to be a Mets fan in New York, boys. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Sal, I got two things, if you would allow me.
Yes,
number
go ahead,
one,
Eric.
I want to give you a piece of advice. And number two, thanks, BT. And number two, I want to make a quick point about Quintana.
Go ahead.
Okay, so first my piece of advice. Well, the last time I spoke to you was June 30th of last year. Your last day is on the overnight. You remember that, I'm sure.
Yes, vaguely. But okay. Go ahead, yeah.
All right. Sorry, you're right. I'm a little nervous.
That's all okay. Right. Go ahead.
All right. So you remember that day, I'm sure.
Yes.
We spoke about, was this the most depressing, disappointing season ever as a Mets fan? That was the question that night, 15 months ago. And now here we are. We're at the top. We played the two most exciting games of the 24 season in baseball. We won them both. Unbelievable. But I want to remind you, do not listen to these guys. Do not listen to the Yankee fans or the young Mets fans who are trying to get you to be Mr. Sunshine Mets fan. You got to be yourself. You got to keep with the neurosis, the angst. You are our voice. There are many Mets fans I know listening to this right now that are like me. You got to continue to be yourself. Don't listen to these guys.
Yeah,
okay?
I appreciate the call, Eric, and thank you so much for listening, not only on the overnight, but again today, and taking the time to give us a call. And I do appreciate the advice, and ultimately that is what it comes down to. All I can be honest, and I would assume the same thing with you, BT. You just got to be true to yourself, how you feel. That's what we do. We are fans. So when I'm on social media watching this game, and I'm frustrated and ticked off, and maybe trying to reverse jinx some things, and I send out a tweet that's, you know, not saying, hey, Mets fans, you got to believe.
Yeah.
You got to believe. No, I'm saying I'm pissed off. Can somebody get a damn hit? They don't have enough right now. That's what's happening in real time. And then when Pete hits that home run, it's euphoria. That's what we do. That's the up and down emotions of it. I'm not going to dive head first into this series or belief in the Mets if I truly don't feel it in my heart or my gut. I do believe in the team. How can you not? They've proven themselves every single time again. Does it mean that I think they're going to beat the Phillies? I have no idea what the hell is going to happen here. But I sure as hell know I'm going to sit back and enjoy every second of it and root like hell for this team to beat those Phillies.
Sign him up. That's my favorite part.
I was out of my mind. You can't hear my wife yelling in the background, but she was. And it was just, I lost my, I still can't believe it. I still think about that. Of all, like, it was put on a platter. Honestly, so much so that you could probably write a movie to what happened, taking Alonso's season and his personal stuff and the contract into account.
Yeah.
If you think about how that played out all year long to that moment, gives me goosebumps setting it up. Lindor gets on, Nimmo gets in, and here comes Pete Alonso with the season on the line. Maybe his final at bat as a Met. Dropping the pop-up before, tripping over the bat the night before.
That's true.
He hasn't done anything impactful all year long. Here comes Big Pete.
Big Pedro.
And he did it.
He did it. He absolutely did it for you guys, man.
I just don't believe it, man. It's unbelievable.
Now you got to keep doing it.
Yeah, but
you feeling good?
You're right. Now, you asked me going in, like, is this house money?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And I felt like it was.
I want more. There you go.
Yeah, I want more.
It's about time.
When we come back, well,
you should want more.
Nick Costo's been texting me over the week. He's like, dude, I'm betting the Mets. I love the Mets. I'm like, easy, big fella, easy. He loved the Mets in this series. He was proven to be correct. We'll see what he has in store for both the Mets and Phillies, BT, and the Yankees and Royals. Be curious to get Nick's thoughts on that. We'll also hit him with the Jets real quick. BT and Sal on the Fan. Nick, how much did you cash out on Matt? Mets win last night.
Oh, man. I am wearing my Yankee hat right now, but last night we were all New York Mets. I texted Sal earlier this week. Absolutely loved the Mets in this series against the Brewers. Like everybody, probably thought it was done, and I think you guys will appreciate this, right? So Alonso comes to the plate last night, and I'm thinking 2005 Yankees Angels, top of the ninth, game five in the ALDS. K-Rod's on the mound. Jeter singles to lead it off. Yankees trailing in the game. A-Rod comes up and immediately grounds into a double play, and it's just like, well, I guess the season's over now. I thought for sure Alonso was grounding into a double play. Instead, you get obviously one. I'm not a Mets fan. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. What an epic sports moment last night, and great, of course, to cash out Sal on our New York Mets, baby.
And
absolutely loved
Nick,
it.
And I don't know why. I mean, mean, maybe you could explain it. You did tell me that you didn't like the pitching of Milwaukee, but let's just look ahead. Where are you at with the Mets and Phillies in this series here?
Oh, I bet the Mets again.
What'd you get them at?
Plus one. What are we at here? Let me. I just want to make sure I give the
for the series. You're saying,
yeah, for where we're at right, and I'm going to bet them in game one. So we're plus 150 right now. That's what I bet. Also, absolutely love the Mets in the series. Now this is a couple of reasons why. You know what? There's really only one reason why. Honestly, it's because they have the team of destiny vibe, and kind of the Tigers have a similar vibe in the American League. I'm betting the Tigers in that series against the Guardians. Tigers also have the best pitcher with Tarik Skubal, going to win AL Cy Young Award winner, right? But we've seen this how many times now in the new baseball format, and how many times have we seen it with the Phillies, right, as the wild card team, just like smashing the favored Braves out of the playoffs? And now I think you get a situation where the pressure here is all on the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Mets are playing with house money. And I've seen like all I need to see from the Mets, both on Monday with the huge comeback against Atlanta in game one, where I know they lost game two. In my mind, they slayed the Braves dragon. For the first time in like 30 years, like the Lindor homer, I felt like they slayed the dragon. And then to come back, like they are left for dead last night against Milwaukee before the Alonso homer and are able to win that game. The Mets just have that special feeling right now. They're rolling with all the momentum here. Phillies have had some time off. All the pressure is going to be on Philadelphia. Now, like, Phillies are awesome. This is not like, I don't like the Dodgers this year. I would bet the Mets to beat the Dodgers also. The Phillies are actually an awesome team. So I'm not trying to present this as not a lock or anything like that. But I like the Mets vibes right now. And I think the Mets are going to get this done in this five-game series against the Phillies. And then maybe lose in the NLCS to the Padres if and when they get there.
Do you bet baseball a lot?
During the regular season, I do some game-by-game stuff. I do home run stuff every night. So, you know, like, with what I do for a living, sports betting, like, we're kind of like teachers, right? The summer, everyone kind of puts their feet up in preparation for the fall, for football season, which is what everyone cares the most about. I love betting the baseball playoffs, though. It's a really interesting puzzle piece to try and figure out. Like, the Dodgers, I would bet any team in the playoffs against the Dodgers in a series because the Dodgers don't have starting pitching that I trust. It's one of the reasons, BT, why I hate to say this, I'm exceptionally worried about our New York Yankees in the series against the Kansas City Royals. So I've got pretty strong thoughts on all four division series, but like I said, Mets, absolutely one of my bets. I'll bet the Mets in every game in the series. I'll bet them to win the series. If I lose, I lose. I feel good about the bet when I place it.
Well, the Yankees, you know, with Sal and I were just talking about this, obviously a massive Mets day here, but there's nowhere for the Yankees to hide. I mean, they absolutely have to find a way to win this series. I think that they will, but the pressure now between the Orioles are gone and the Astros are gone. There's no excuses. A couple of, you know, mid-tier payroll teams out there. Boone's, you know, Boone's got to crack through. Judge's situation, Juan Soto's contract, like now the Mets are still playing, taking some of the shine. Yankees have to win the series. There's no other option.
Yeah. I do think if the Yankees win the series against Kansas City, I do think the Yankees will win the American League pennant. Like, Detroit matches, I will talk about Kansas City in a second, but like Detroit, like, you can like Detroit in a best of three, a best of five when you get Skubal twice in five games. I think best of seven becomes really tough for a team like the Tigers with the way they're constructed. And maybe some revenge for the Yankees against that cheating, lying fraud, A.J. Hinch and his garbage cans stealing the World Series from us back in 2017. But have to beat the Kansas City Royals. And BT, you've been a positive Jets fan. I find it difficult, and I know, like, Sal and Mets fans will, like, turn their nose up at this for Yankee fans to say this. It is kind of rich.
Go ahead.
I'm extremely pessimistic about my team when October rolls around. With what's happened the last 15 years with the Yankees, I'm terrified that the bats are going to go silent.
Yep.
How many times have we seen it happen?
Yep.
And let's call a spade a spade. Yankees lineup pisses on the Royals lineup. It does.
Well, you know,
But with that being said, BT,
yeah,
though,
yeah,
Kansas City starting rotation is definitely better than the Yankees starting rotation.
I mean, unless Garrett Cole comes out and remembers that he's the reigning Cy Young winner and throws up, you know, six or seven zeros, then I would obviously push back on that. And I would look at the Yankees' depth in terms of the rotation.
Whether Great, here's Clark Carlos Schmidt. Rodon. You confident in Carlos Rodon?
I'm more confident than you appear to be, more confident than Sal. Listen, I look at the Yankees rotation, which was carrying the mail all early during the season when Judge wasn't doing much, obviously, and they were actually setting records, like historical records. The rotation was that good. I'm not saying it's going to that the Yankees rotation is going to win every night 2-1, but I have great faith. I have supreme confidence here, Nick, that the Yankees rotation is going to give them them a chance to win every single game. Every single game, they're going to pitch to the scoreboard, including Rodon. Yes, I do have faith in him.
Well, better win game one.
You have to win. That's true. That's true.
Because don't win on. So what? So I'm gonna, like, what happens on Saturday, on Sunday or Monday for game two?
Yeah.
Yankees lose game one, which is a disaster scenario if that happens. Because first pitch of the Rodon goes ball one on the first pitch of the game, like the stadium's dead.
Uh huh.
Like, because everyone's expecting the worst if and when that happens. So, look, like, Cole comes out and shoves in game one. Yankees win game one. Like, I will feel pretty good about their chances. I think if they lose game one, I actually think the series is over. Because now here's Reagan's Rodon in game two. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a Yankee fan. Like, I love the Yankees. Advantage Kansas City. And it really makes me nervous.
Not at home. Not with Rodon pitching at home in the Bronx. His numbers are sick.
I do not. So, okay, I appreciate your level of trust. I'm going to try and be optimistic also. I do not trust him in a big spot.
I got you.
I don't trust Rodon either. BT and Sal were talking with Nick Costos. I don't trust Rodon either, Nick, but I look at that Royals lineup. I just don't think they have enough to compete with the Yankees.
They shouldn't on paper, but again, and look, maybe I'm being a pessimistic fan here. How many times have we seen this again over the last, since 2009, where we go into a series and, like, the Yankees should win the series and the lineup's a lot better, and then here's, like, they're down 4-0 in the eighth, and here's a solo homer from Stan. Like, great. Awesome.
You don't think this Yankee team's different? I do.
I hope so. Kind of like, until I see it, I'm candidly, like, and I hope I'm wrong, I am not going to believe it. I am very, 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 very nervous going into the series. I am nervous that Waka and Reagans and Singer and Lugo, I am worried that those pitchers are going to have a lot of success against the Yankee lineup, and we've seen this happen before. Once they go cold, it's like they are absolutely lifeless as a team, and it's like our worst nightmare as a fan. Like, I'm actually getting physically freaking ill right now thinking about it.
Hey, this is what we live for, though, Nick. Come on, we got Mets and Yankees playing a playoff game on the same day for the first time since 2006. You got the Jets Sunday morning in London, Giants a little bit later on. Let's get to some of the football here. What you're feeling? It is a big game for the Jets, too. Take it on the Vikings, who've been one of the best teams in the NFL. Where are you at, Jets-Vikings Sunday morning?
So, I'm going to bet the Jets in the game. It is not going to be one of my favorite bets of the week, but it's just like, it's expecting now, and Minnesota was favored at the Giants in week one. That's basically picked the winner of the game against a projected bad Giants team. This is now a whole set of different expectations for Sam Darnold and the Vikings, where now the expectation is that they are going to beat a good team by at least 3 points. And I would push back against that a little bit here. And I'm curious, you know, if Greg Zuerlein makes that field goal last week at the end of the game, I think, you know, Jets fans are probably still a little pessimistic, right? Given that it took that long for them to beat the Denver Broncos. But if they win the game and they're 3-1, I do think that, you know, the conversation's probably a little different going into this game. Now, Rodgers gets put on his ass a bunch last week, and the Denver Blitz and Vance Joseph, they do a great job flummoxing the Jets offense. You have to imagine, like, the Jets know what this is going to be on Sunday. This is what Brian Flores does. We saw it in week one against the Giants. He's going to blitz the you-know-what out of the Jets offense here. And my sense is that the future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, who is, like, legendarily cerebral, is going to know what's coming, and I think he's going to be able to beat this blitz better than he did last week with the Denver Broncos. I'll take the 2.5 with the Jets, begrudgingly, guys, but give me the Jets on Sunday.
I think you're right. Like, even if the Jets would have won the game last week and there would have been a lot to complain about, sloppy, why do you let Denver hang, even though Denver's defense is really good, you know, the 3-1 record they would have had going into this game, it's like, all right, let's get a little more separation from some of these other teams in the AFC outside of Buffalo and a few others that aren't playing well. It's like the chest is puffed out a little bit. Now I almost feel like the season's in peril, and I'm not, and you said this at the start, I'm not an overly negative Jets fan. I'm fairly optimistic and fairly measured. Like, I feel like this is the pivot point, and I really don't know which way it's going to go. Salah's been a disaster all week, talking about things that he always messes up. I think the Jets can either rout them, or I think the Jets could get smoked, quite frankly. I have no idea.
I don't disagree with that. The good news is I think the cavalry is coming soon. I cannot imagine a world where the Jets do not consummate the trade and bring Devontae Adams.
Exactly.
Like it is. I think it is a fait accompli. I know, like teams negotiate through the media. So when, like, Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport puts out there, like, Adams prefers to play for the Jets, but the Raiders will take the best package. That's basically like the Raiders are telling Schefter to say this, so Joe Douglas knows, like, we have to up, like the offer that we're making. Like, he's going to be a Jet. I feel really, really confident in that. And just one prop thought for this game. Garrett Wilson has obviously had a very disappointing season. 53.5 is his yardage prop. So, BT, if you and I are right, and Rodgers has more success beating the blitz and getting the ball out of his hands early, mm-hmm. I think the guy he'll find success with is Garrett Wilson. I like Wilson over 53.5 receiving
yards. It's got to happen at some point here. What do you think the trade comp would be for Adams? Just quickly back to that. What would it take to actually get him?
So it's a difficult question to answer because the coach and GM that will be making the trade like literally are going to get fired if they don't win this year.
Yeah.
So, like, if this human nature, right? If it were you, BT or Sal, or you, the person listening, and you knew, like, I am getting, like, I will lose my job. I will never be a GM or a head coach again, because they won't be, the two of them. Like, if they get fired, like, would you care about trading? I'm not saying it's going to be a first-round pick, but, like, great, let the next regime not have a first-round pick. Who cares? So I think they're going to do, like, whatever it takes, and maybe it screws the Jets, you know, next year or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
But, like, the organization's all in. I think you do whatever you have to do to get Devontae Adams catching passes from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they did that with Hassan Reddick and get him on the field going to get quarterbacks. For me, that would be the more important move, but they haven't done it. So I'm not sure what they're waiting for here with that. All right.
Trade him to the Raiders.
Well, I mean, you're going to do that for Adams? I think the team, don't you think that Reddick would be more important to their success than Devontae Adams?
No. Look, Reddick would be an important player. Like, a pass rusher is really important. Yeah. But I mean, like, think about what Devontae Adams does to this offense.
Get it.
All the pressure off Garrett Wilson, pressure off Breece Hall, more pressure off Saleh. I think it would be a big move.
How about the Giants, Nick? No Malik Nabers. I mean, make a case for the Giants competing in Seattle.
The case is, there is a case, and it shouldn't be bet now, and I'm just refreshing my screen to see where we're at.
It was
here.
7 last I saw, right?
Yeah, we're at 7, which makes sense, because like 15 minutes ago, Malik Nabers is officially ruled out for the game. So Brian Daboll told the media, Nabers has not cleared protocol, he is out, and that's why we are seeing the number at 7. So the case for the Giants, Sal, is just, you know, like, Seattle has to win the game by 10 points to cover the spread. And are the Giants that bad that you would actually put your money on them losing by double digits in this game? I think, like, the better in me tells me to take the Giants because the number is valuable at 7. And is Seattle also good at, like, Seattle was 6 at home against Denver in week 1. Think about how bad Denver was viewed coming into the season, and now they're 7 against the Giants. Like, the number's actually probably a little off. So the better in me likes the Giants plus 7. But, like, you know, the fan in me and the on-field handicapper, right? So Daniel Jones, we saw this last Thursday against the Cowboys, where the Giants did cover the spread, but of course lose the game. Daniel Jones, for whatever the reason, neck, knee, whatever, cannot throw the ball down the field. Like, he's horrendous. He's horrible. He has no downfield accuracy whatsoever. So now, without Nabers, now you become an offense that's even more reliant on these short passes designed for yard after catch. Like, Wandale Robinson's going to have, like, 22 catches for 40 yards in this game. And if you're Mike McDonald, Yacht Rock legend and Seahawks head coach, like, defensive wizard, like, why wouldn't you just, like, guard against that? Guard 7 yards down the field. The quarterback can't beat you deep. It's not possible. He can't do it physically. So the better in me, Giants plus 7. The objective and analyst in me thinks the Seahawks might win this game big.
Seattle's injury report's a mess. I mean, that favors Giants as well.
Byron Murphy, who is their stud rookie defensive tackle, didn't play on Monday night against the Lions, and the Lions ran all over them. So he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. If he doesn't play in the game, it does help the matchup, theoretically. And we don't know if Singletary is going to play also. We think he's going to play. If he doesn't, it'll be the rookie Tyrone Tracy. So maybe the Giants can take the air out of the football. Maybe they can run the ball successfully. Like I said, like, I'm betting the game. I'll take 7 with the Giants. I am concerned that they get boat raced on Sunday.
Thank you, Nick. Enjoy this wild weekend here. New York sports, NFL Sunday, all the above. But for New York, this is just incredible. Enjoy it. We'll enjoy listening to you on Sunday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Wishing you and all the great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And please, guys, I just beg the New York Yankees, please do not do this to us.
We're good.
Again.
We're good.
All right, that was the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. It's weird, BT. It does not feel like a Football Friday. That's because the Mets have dominated the day. But we will have our football picks, perfect parlay pick segment coming up in a little bit. Also have Howie Rose at 1 o'clock, the man of the hour on the call with that tremendous call for Pete Alonso's incredible moment last night. So we'll talk to Howie at 1. More of your calls when we come back. What a time to be a New York sports fan. Obviously, the Mets front and center, BT, off of what happened last night, punching their ticket to the NLDS in the most dramatic of ways with Pete Alonso being the hero, but also for the first time since 2006, Mets and Yanks playing in the postseason at the same time, a game at the same, on the same day. You have the Jets in London Sunday in a big game, taking on the Vikings, Giants at 4 o'clock, Mets game 2 is Sunday. It will both be on the air. You will be on tomorrow.
Yep.
So BT solo Saturday 1 to 3.
After Joe B.
And then I will be
1 to 3:30. I lean into the Rutgers game. So all Yanks and all Mets, but leading up to Rutgers after Joe B.
And then the Yanks follow the Rutgers, so you got that. And then I'll be on Sunday at noon right up until Giant football at 2:25. So there's a lot going on this weekend. Cannot get enough of it.
I even squeezed in 5 minutes watching Carl Anthony Towns' press conference. Yeah, the first time I met the media.
I did not see
and
that.
And that got me excited. I'm like, all right, we're going to have to push that to the side of the room. But don't think for a second you and I aren't pumped about what the Knicks are going to be this year. Oh, my God.
We're just getting started here. I did see something today on the Knicks that made me excited. It's come full circle. Patrick Ewing, the big fella. The big fella's back. The Knicks hired him to be some kind of advisor or ambassador of the team.
But team advisor. Yeah, ambassador. That's it. You nailed it.
You just feel like it's starting to all come
together. Here we go, man. It's a new
together.
Time. New time.
BT and Sal on the fan. Phil is in Shirley. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, boys? Hey, I know a lot of people are coming for Sal today, but I got to defend him. I know some of my boys are calling me up saying, you got to roast Sal. You got to roast Sal. I went to the watch party last night, drove an hour and 15 minutes from Shirley to Citi Field. In the top of the eighth, bottom of the eighth, I'm sitting there questioning my life decision. What did I do? Why did I come here? Why am I not sitting at home watching this? You know, it's the same old Mets. Pete even gets up with first and third one out. I'm sitting there thinking he's going to ground into a double play. After that drop fly ball, they showed him on the screen at the watch party in Citi Field, and everybody was booing this guy. To think about where he came from. Thank God I wasn't tweeting what was going on in my mind, because people would be coming for me today. Sal, you got to go follow us, Amazing Mets Zone, on X and Instagram. Get some fans back on your side.
I'm not worried about that stuff, Phil. And thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And you know, I get fans back on my side. I'm not somebody that they're rooting for. Like, this is about the Mets.
Now batting, Sal Licata.
Yeah, it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm allowed to feel however I want, tweet whatever I want. And you're right. The difference is I put it out there. Others don't. And I don't know why they would have, why they would even care. Like, I'm just a fan like everybody else. You say something good about the team, oh, you're a jinx. You say something bad about the team, oh, look, ha-ha, you were wrong about the team. Give me a break. I don't care what anybody thinks. Never have, never will. But I do appreciate the support, Phil. And it's incredible, BT. I don't know if I would have gone out to that watch party myself, but I do think it's a great thing the Mets are doing. They're doing it again
tomorrow for the road games. Yeah, so tomorrow, pardon me.
It's great to have the fans go out there and watch these games together. And I will say this off of that, what he said about Pete being booed when they showed him on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that wouldn't have been me. That was a little rough there. Pete Alonso will have by far the loudest, biggest ovation maybe ever for a Met when he is announced, when they do the lineups for Game 3 of the NLDS.
Well, then Hoff said, and then he'll strike out. Come on, Hoff! Will they do the, for the divisional series, players run out to the first and third base? I think they do as well,
don't
right?
Don't they do that?
I think they do that.
For the first home game for each team for the division series, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure they do. I don't know if they push that to the championship series, but I feel like they do it for the divisional series. And
even if they don't, when he gets up,
he'll get the hero's welcome.
I mean, beyond that, because as you said before, BT, we've all just been waiting for this. We've wanted this to happen, and he finally did it. Mo was in Whitestone. What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, Sal, Mo? Yeah,
I'm good. I'm great. I felt the same way you did in regards to the fear, and I want to help you get over that fear, because I was the same way. We're all afraid of that disappointment, that other shoe to drop. But then I thought of Rocky III and Adrian's speech to Rocky, where he's on the beach and like, I'm afraid, right? For the first time in my life, I'm afraid. And she's like, I believe in you. Apollo believes in you. What are you afraid of? He goes, what if I lose? She's like, if you lose, you lose, but you let go of that fear. You don't have that fear in your life. So what I'm saying is let go of that fear and let's effing go, dude.
Yes! Just
oh, my God.
There you go, Mo!
Wow.
Yes! Yes, Mo! That's it!
Rocky III. There is no fear. If you lose, you lose.
That's a great scene. That's a great scene.
Gives me goosebumps thinking about that.
Mo with the money call of the day. And we've had a lot of good ones. That's the best one so far.
All rise.
Now, the difference is, though, Rocky had control of his results.
Of his fate.
Yeah, right. He had control of his fate. Exactly. Uh-huh. I don't. Yeah. I'm leaving it in their hands.
That's true.
Which I've done too many times and I've been burnt so many times.
That's all we have, man. That's all we can do. That's all we've ever done. That's all we'll ever do. We have no influence on this.
You know, think about
this. We
think we do. Right, but we don't.
No.
And think about me personally for a second, where I showed more faith in them than many, if not by everybody in 2022. And how'd that work out for me? Saying the NL East was over, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I believed in them. I put my faith in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that still, like, I think that that's part of the social media nonsense, where they're like, oh, you jinxed the team or whatever. That's still a part of it 2 years later. So for me to, again, put my fate in their hands is just not a comfortable
thing. But you did do it, because didn't you say the wild card race was over?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Yeah, and guess how many people want to talk about that now?
Well, nobody.
Yeah, correct. At the time, though, we're getting hate mail and emails and blah, blah, stop, get them off the SMY, blah, blah. But it was
were you really getting that? Get them off SMY?
Yeah, it was proven to be correct. Gosh. But nobody wants to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So they all like, people on there like when you get something wrong or when it... I didn't even get it right.
They like it. They wait for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the game. Yeah, so what?
Guess what? Don't care. I'm on the air. I got news for you. We're on the air 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. By the way, we're going to be on this weekend, as we just said. We're going to say a lot of dumb stuff. We're going to say a lot of stuff that is proven to be incorrect. Doesn't matter. We're here to entertain and just be fans just like you. It's not about right or wrong. It's about living in the moment. And I'm not afraid.
With no accountability.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm not afraid. I mean, there's generally logic and reason behind some of the reasons. Like, old fans, like Met fans are getting ripped now. Oh, see, you didn't believe in Pete Alonso. Not just you or I, but like whoever. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you didn't believe in Alonso. Yeah, well, there's a reason
and
for
nobody
it.
Nobody did. He had it all run since he faced the first baseman outfielder.
He didn't have an extra base hit in
September 18th, 17th, I mean, something like that.
So, come on.
Uh-oh.
Mike is in Elmont, New York. What's up, Mike?
Mikey, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys, man? Oh, my God. What a day to be a Mets fan. I can't even, I don't even know where to start, but. Yesterday, I come home from work, and I'm like, oh, my God, Pete Alonso's batting fourth. And my girlfriend's like, is that bad? And I'm like, well, I mean, we'll see. He's going to be in a spot that he's going to have to do something, you know? And then we're getting down to the end of the game. Those back-to-back home runs, my heart sinks. I have this anxiety come over my body. I'm fuming, and I'm just looking around with my family. We're all together watching the game, and we're just, like, dead. And then all of a sudden, Pete Alonso hits that home run, and I'm running around my kitchen like a maniac screaming. I lost my voice. I feel like I'm a 12-year-old kid again. I'm 35. And I'm just like, we are exercising our demons in real time right now. I feel like, I just feel like we're actually doing it. You know, this is a team of destiny. I was talking to Hoffman, and he's like, this is a team of destiny.
That's a lot of baseball, Mike.
Man,
Pace yourself.
Great call. Thank you for the call.
Great call. And by the way, quickly about Pete batting fourth. Pete could have batted seventh last night.
The spot was
going to find him. Pete was not able to hide, and Pete was going to be up there. But this is now we're getting the fate, and we're getting the destiny, and we're getting the exercising
Monday.
Of the demons. Oh,
save that for tomorrow when you're doing the show by yourself. I don't want to hear any of that today.
No,
today.
I'm not saying it. Callers are saying it.
But you're trying to...
No. I'm not trying to jam. I'm honestly not. I'm not. But it's coming, and it's coming early. There's a lot of baseball to go.
I don't know if I personally feel that and believe that yet, but they're showing us that. They're showing us that they've been a team of destiny, a team of fate. I don't know if I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever believe in it? I don't know that I ever believe in it. Here, you know what? Hold on. I may have believed in it for a period, but like once the Yankees lost 2001, based on 9/11,
sure.
I said, whatever I think is supposed to happen for certain. Pertaining to sports, I think I abandoned that. I don't think I believe in sporting fate anymore. I really don't.
I believe in a more loaded roster.
Yeah. Give
you
some weapons, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
As opposed to, hey, they're a team of destiny.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works out. Howie Rose will join us when we come back. Fresh off of that incredible call last night of one of the most memorable moments in Mets history. We'll do so when we return. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.